live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Health Minister and the HSE are being challenged in relation to chronic delays in the allocation of home help hours in Donegal and across the country. The full rollout of termination of early pregnancy services has been prevented at Letterkenny University Hospital because of conscientious objection complications. There are fears plans to build more houses near Gordon na Grainne in Letterkenny could further impact an already unreliable water supply. And Dunloe is leading the way following the launch of the Going Green initiative. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly. But first in news, the Health Minister says no one believes the HSE can continue as it is. It comes as Cabinet has approved a major shake-up of the structure of the health service that will see it split into six regional health boards. As part of the reshuffle, part of what was previously known as CHO1, including Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim, will now be known as Area F, along with Galway, Roscommon and Mayo. The idea is to give more power and autonomy to individuals in the health service at a local level. Health Minister Simon Harris says it's part of a wider change being brought under Sláinte Care.
I think it's fair to say, we've got to be honest with each other, nobody believes that the HSE can continue in the way that it is. Patients don't believe it, staff don't believe it, I don't believe it. We need less bureaucracy, we need more accountability, and crucially, we need fewer layers between the patient and the health service.
Meanwhile, the Health Minister and the HSE are being challenged in relation to chronic delays in the allocation of home help hours in Donegal and across the country. It's emerged that it currently takes almost 14 weeks for home help hours to be sanctioned. Donegal Deputy Patha Cope Gallagher says the government have created a home help crisis due to inaction and the complete failure to plan for the increased demand for hours. He says more joined up thinking is needed.
This is as a result of the many constituents coming to me regarding applications for home health for their loved ones. And of course, it can take up to 14 to 16 weeks before the application is approved. And then when it's approved, it could take as long again before home helpers are provided. The government continue to tell us that more money's been spent, but it's not reflected on the ground. And there's no joined up thinking between the minister, the department and the HSE, because there are numerous patients who are medically discharged from hospital, and if the home help package was available, they could go home. Whereas I have one particular one at the moment, amongst others, where a patient was discharged medically 9 weeks ago, and they're still taking up a bed in a hospital, which is costing thousands as against some few hundreds that's required for home help.
And as you say, this is having a knock-on effect on the whole health service.
Of course, and if there was joined up thinking, if this investment was made in home help, then it would free up hospital beds. And now when we consider if home help is not available, then many patients are in hospitals or in nursing units, which is costing a multiplier of the cost of providing home help. This is a demand-led scheme, and it should be on a statutory basis whereby immediately one is approved that the home help is provided. There are many who are available, who have been cleared to do home help, but because of the embargo and the government like to talk about just a restriction at the moment, it is an embargo, and it's just not for home helpers, it's right throughout the HSE.
There are fears plans to build more houses near Gordon na Grainne in Letterkenny could further impact an already unreliable water supply. The area has been subject to frequent water outages, with some work to remedy the situation carried out. The proposals include the building of an additional 30 houses and 20 apartments. Local resident Thomas O'Davine says he and others are totally opposed to the plans until the supply is brought up to spec.
This work's going to take a year or 2 years to complete. And it's going to leave us with less water again up in Niscadal, because I'm sure it's going to be done in a couple of phases. And it can't, more water has to be fixed before that development can even start. And then with another issue with heavy traffic and through our estate, lorries and whatnot, tractors and every other bits of pieces of machinery. And there's a load of kids there. And nobody has come to speak to us in regarding how they're going to safe measure this process from the start, you know. You see, we have been told by council that they were not going to grant any permission up there until our matter was resolved. So we're hoping that is still the issue. And the late man, Skelly, was doing an awful lot of work for us for a short space of time that he was there. So we're hoping that it's still the same scenario that's going to happen until we're finished, if they won't submit any more development go ahead. It's a sort of news to us that how this can happen so quick if they didn't know nothing about it. You know, so we're just hopeful that they'll get a meeting with a council organisation to see that we're strongly objecting to this development going ahead.
The Department of Communications says a proposal by AIR to roll out the national broadband plan for less than €1 billion is not feasible. The department has written to the company to confirm the government's position that a state subsidy cannot be given to the firm to complete the programme. It also states its proposal would not meet the key objectives of the plan. Minister Richard Burton told the Cabinet today that significant progress has been made by the department and the preferred bidder in finalising the legal and financial documents relating to the plan. He says he expects a contract to be signed later this year. Hundreds of homes and businesses in Fulcarra and Gortahork were left without water today again. Premises were affected by loss of supply for a time earlier following another suspected pipe burst. The area has been plagued by numerous water outages over the last number of months, with long-awaited pipe replacement works due to get underway this autumn. Water has been restored to most but is expected to be fully restored by 7 o'clock this evening. Local councillor Michael McLafferty says until the pipe replacement works are carried out, their hands are tied.
Unfortunately, just a case of none of us have crystal balls, know when it's going to happen next, and this is the problem. It's very unfortunate for the businesses. Obviously, local businesses there at the minute, they're suffering other days, they're suffering this morning. For the elderly residents as well, through the place, wherever they may be, people with medical needs, all this, there's cause and havoc whenever it does happen, and it is a real inconvenience, but just unfortunately at the moment, we can't do nothing other than just fix it when it busts.
The full rollout of termination of early pregnancy services has been prevented at Letterkenny University Hospital because of conscientious objection complications. It's one of three hospitals affected nationally, with the Department of Health stating that it will be asking the HSE to fully implement abortion services in all maternity hospitals and units by September. Roy Williams has more.
According to documents seen by the journal.ie, the rollout of full abortion services across the country has been slower than expected. Among the hospitals or units where conscientious objections have hindered the rollout of early pregnancy abortion services are Letterkenny University Hospital, Sligo University Hospital and Wexford General Hospital. A briefing document dated from May 2019 and released to the journal.ie under a Freedom of Information request by the Department of Health states that conscientious objection is still a significant challenge in Letterkenny University Hospital. An April document also states that the issue in Letterkenny is conscientious objection and no progress has been made as yet to resolve the issue. The National Women and Infants Health Programme has committed to engage further with SAILTA as part of the attempt to resolve the impasse.
Planners have concentrated transport investment in the east of the country to the detriment of other regions. That's according to a report on rural transport by an Oireachtas committee due to be launched today in County Leitrim. Stephen Burke reports.
Major transport projects should aim to create demand rather than just respond to it, according to the Oireachtas Committee on Rural and Community Development. Its report on rural transport says planners have been putting big projects where the population density demands them, namely in the eastern part of the country. That's at the detriment of rural areas, it says, and it's reinforcing the dominance of Dublin over regional cities. It says capital funding should go towards areas where there's less population, and the National Transport Authority should be legally required to promote regional development. Everyone in the country should get the same per capita level of subvention for public transport as people in cities, it says. The committee also wants school transport supports to be available to students of all ages. Other key recommendations include increasing funding for roads, extending bus and train timetables in the morning and evening, and developing rail freight.
John Lowe is leading the way following the launch of the Going Green initiative. The joint initiative between Donegal County Council and John Lowe Tidy Towns Committee is the first of its kind in the county and is encouraging businesses in the area to sign up to a charter to promote working towards a more sustainable environment. The project is being rolled out in conjunction with the upcoming Merry from John Lowe Festival, which has incorporated a number of new elements that will see a greater focus on recycling, as well as urging stallholders and vendors to sign up to the John Lowe Going Green initiative. Suzanne Bogan, Waste Awareness Officer with Donegal County Council, says the next year will be a huge learning curve, but is hopeful the initiative can be established in other areas of the county.
We have been working with Dunlow-Teddy Towns for a number of months now on a sustainable community project, looking at introducing sustainable actions to businesses, to community groups, schools and general public. We launched our business charter where the Teddy Towns Committee will be asking local businesses in the town to sign up to the charter where they would make some commitments to sustainability over their next coming years. One of the really encouraging aspects of the campaign as well is that the Mary from Dunlow International Arts Festival are involved in introducing greening this year to their festival. And we should see an increased recycling focus through that long programme of events with the festival. And also the reigning Mary from Dunlow, Caroline O'Donnell, is the ambassador for Dunlow Going Green as well. So a really positive initiative coming from the community.
And is this something you would hope to see other festivals get on board with?
Very much so, festivals, but also for local communities. I think we have a good template now with Dunlow Going Green, and that's something that we would like to see being replicated right across the county. So it's like that we're devising the way forward with one group as a trial, and we'll get a lot of learning out of that over the next 12 months or so. We'll be able to bring the templates of the charters and the other activities to hopefully lots of other communities. And there's a lot of work happening out there in the communities already all over the county with lots of sustainable actions and sustainable plans being put in place.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, with a great selection of adults and children's Donegal GEA jerseys. Shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's now 13 minutes past five, and time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Gaelic Games. Derry are the latest under-county side in need of a new football manager. Damien McAuleen has stepped down after 2 years of a three-year term, stating personal circumstances as his reason. The county board say they reluctantly accepted McAuleen's resignation. He took up the role of senior manager after a successful spell with the Derry Miners. The process of appointing a management team will commence in the coming days. Dundalk looks set to be without Michael Duffy for this evening's Europa League qualifying second leg away to Riga. The forward has remained at home as his partner is giving birth. Vinnie Perth's side need to score in the Latvian capital tonight with the tie level at 0-0 after last week's first leg at Oriel Park. The game starts in just over 10 minutes time at 5:30. Dundalk defender Dane Massey is confident they can score an all-important away goal.
We've always played our best football when we know we have to score. The camp. Count how many trips we've gone away from home knowing that we've had to get a result and score. So yeah, look, we're confident. I think this pitch will suit us. We've just had a quick look there. It's wise.
Irish League Champions, Linfield face a difficult task tonight, needing to overturn a 2-0 deficit. They're in Norway taking on Rosenborg. And Celtic's progression to the second qualifying round should be a mere formality tonight. Neil Lennon's side hold a 3-1 lead over FK Sarajevo. Get into the second leg in Glasgow. Kick-off to that one is 7:45. Sheffield Wednesday say outstanding legal issues remain regarding Steve Bruce's departure from the club. The Championship side insist they're disappointed to learn he was confirmed as Newcastle's new head coach this morning. Bruce resigned from his previous job with the Yorkshire team, along with coaches Steve Agnew and Stephen Clemens. Sheffield Wednesday say they are seeking legal advice. There's an under-18 Enda McGill, a cup second round tie tonight. It's a big derby clash as neighbouring Finn Harpson Derry City will meet in the competition. Kickoff time to that game at Finn Park tonight is 7:30. There's also one game in the Colin Breslin Youth Cup tonight as well. It's a quarter-final tie. Lagan Harps play Keju Rovers, up for grabs as a place in the last four. Rory McIlroy is feeling relaxed heading into this week's Open Championship at Portrush, which starts tomorrow. The world number three says he's played the course three times over the past year. McIlroy set a course record 61 at the venue when he was just 16, and he feels very little has changed since then.
For me, sometimes, you play a golf course so much, you start looking at the places where you don't want to hit it. You know, I've played well here before. I know what I'm doing around here. I mean, I sort of was worried. I got here last Saturday thinking, you know, the course is going to change. The setup for an Open might be different. And I got here and it's like, still the same place.
Former Ryder Cup captain Paul McGinley says he wouldn't be surprised if the Open takes place in the Republic of Ireland in the future. Portrush, of course, plays host to the major for the first time in 70 years. And Padraig Harrington suggested that Portmarnock would be well suited to host the tournament. McGinley feels the RNA's decision to bring the Open back to Northern Ireland could pave the way for it to be played in the Republic.
I think we're seeing the same thing and the same kind of tactics again employed by them regarding Portmarnock. We had the amateur championship there, run there last month or 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, which was a huge success. Obviously, it's still a big step to bring it down to the south. But, you know, I think things are ongoing and a lot of things have to happen between now and then for it to get announced. But I would say that they're, quietly working behind the scenes to possibly do it.
In rugby, Ulster prop Gareth Milosinovic is set to miss most of his debut season with the province. The 26-year-old has suffered a knee ligament injury in pre-season training and will now undergo surgery on the issue. Ulster say the former Warwickshire Warriors player is to be sidelined for around 9 months. And elsewhere in rugby, the fixtures for the forthcoming Pro 14 season have been released. Ulster will start on Friday, the 27th of September, hosting the Ospreys in Belfast. Leinster will begin the defence of the title with a trip to Italy to play Benetton. Connacht are away to the Scarlets in their opener, and Munster host the Dragons. The start of the league has been delayed by a month to accommodate the 2019 Rugby World Cup. Don't forget, Highlands GAA programme is on every Wednesday and continues tonight with Tom Comack. Usual throw-in time there is at 8:30 as Tom looks ahead to the weekend's action and indeed takes a look at the big local GAA stories too. I'll be back with the next bulletin tomorrow morning after 8, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news. The government has confirmed it will oppose an EU plan to end seasonal clock changes. Justice Minister Charlie Flanagan is concerned it would lead to two time zones on the island of Ireland after Brexit. Paddy Malone from Dundalk's Chamber of Commerce thinks the government is right to oppose the move.
We've grown up with the restrictions that we've had to put up with. But another one on top of everything that we've had to put up with over the last 3 years would be very difficult. Brexit's making life difficult enough for us, you know? So it's a ludicrous situation.
The new Peace for Grants Arts for Youth project has been officially launched in Letterkenny. The project, which forms part of Donegal County Council's €5.5 million local authority action plan, aims to engage with young people between the ages of 14 and 17 from different backgrounds throughout Donegal to increase understanding and respect for diversity, as well as strengthen cross-border and cross-community relations. Chair of the Donegal Peace for Partnership, Councillor Paul Canning, says it's a really worthwhile initiative.
They've received 80,000 from a programme that is run by the Peace Four body. The purpose of that money is to bring the marginalised communities together, along with bridging the gap that existed between the Protestant and Catholic communities, and so far as understanding and appreciating each other's cultures. Now, the money that we had to offer a few years back was we had 1.7 million of a capital spend for shared spaces. We had also 2.12 million on running programs and building positive relations. And we also had over a million on running programs for children and young people. This program in Letterkenny was a program for the Arts for Youth project. It was funded under the building positive relations that's going to be run out by the Donegal Youth Service to run the program. That project will focus on facilitating and sort of encouraging the involvement of about 140 young people between the ages of 14 and 17, from the marginalised, disadvantaged and disengaged communities. Now, the programme is going to run for about 15 months and will focus on just building good, positive relations between our youth. The programme is going to consist of a shared design process. And the young people will get picking their own themes and their own agenda. And it will be about creating fun within themselves. And also the discussion of each other's cultures will come into play. That's where we need to start appreciating the youth as going to be the people or the future leaders of this country. I think it's very positive what has come out of those programmes.
Inis Seán's only Fine Gael councillor says the government is not doing enough to protect rural Ireland and that needs to change quickly. Councillor Bernard McGuinness was speaking as he called for an immediate review of the county development plan, which will oversee how the county grows until 2024. Councillor McGuinness says at the time the plan was adopted last year, there was some outstanding issues and a quick review was promised to all those to be addressed. However, he says that has not happened.
Particular reference to Cairn Donaghue, there's an estate where the applicants were looking to get the line on the development plan goes right down through the site. That has to be reviewed. There are a number of other issues like changing the actual plan to take in areas, and so we needed that done, but it seems to be going on and we can't get this done. The other thing that I come to pass on, that people within the Cairndon area who wish to build outside it are not being granted plan permission because they live within the control points of Cairndon. I don't think that's fair. I think the thing was brought in because of extensive businessmen in Letterkenny and other larger towns going out and building in the environs of the towns. But that doesn't apply in Tier 2 towns, I don't think.
Are control points proving to be a blunt instrument that are not subtle enough to meet the needs of an area like Inishowen?
Yes. I think that we need to be more flexible in planning, especially for local people. Quite frankly, I think the council at the moment are depopulating rural areas with their policies, and I think this must be looked at in terms of the county development plan.
There's a full council meeting next week. Will you be pushing at that to get this review of the development plan sooner rather than later?
I brought the issue up before about small estates out in rural areas to support rural schools, and again, this seems to be running foul with the county development plan. I got it through with the officials, but I got it through the county development plan. But there isn't one proposed since that. I think we have to be seen to keep rural Ireland alive, because I'm a member of Fine Gael, but I'm very critical of the government and how they're handling rural Ireland, and I don't mind saying that publicly.
And finally, the Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District says more needs to be done to attract investment to the peninsula. It follows a presentation to councillors in the area on Donegal Connect, which is being coordinated by the Donegal Diaspora Initiative. The initiative is inviting people who have moved away from the county to consider coming home, with a video produced to highlight the employment and investment opportunities that exist in the county. However, Councillor Marcia McDermott says there are no such opportunities being highlighted in Inishowen.
I think we've got to a point in the county where these multinational businesses, the Primericas and the bigger companies, are coming as far as Letterkenny or coming as far as the south of the county and not coming to Inishowen. The video by Donegal Connect really put that home to me when you watched it, that there is no mention of any of these multinationals coming to Inishowen. So I think it's a very, very important point that needs to be brought up at a higher level, that how can we put Inishowen's best foot forward and how can we make sure that these multinational companies are interested in the show.
For weather now, mainly dry and bright this evening with some sunshine and occasional showers. Dry in most areas overnight with clear spells and lowest temperatures of 10 to 12 degrees and mostly moderate westerly winds. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Cabinet has approved a major shake-up of the structure of the health service that will see it split into six regional health boards. As part of the reshuffle, part of what was previously known as CHO1, including Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim, will now be known as Area F, along with Galway, Roscommon and Mayo. Meanwhile, the Health Minister and the HSE are being challenged in relation to chronic delays in the allocation of home help hours in Donegal and across the country. It's the mayor's that it currently takes almost 14 weeks for home help hours to be sanctioned. There are fears plans to build more houses near Gordon na Grainne in Letterkenny could further impact an already unreliable water supply. The area has been subject to frequent water outages, with some work to remedy the situation carried out. And the full rollout of termination of early pregnancy services has been prevented at Letterkenny University Hospital because of conscientious objection complications. It's one of three hospitals affected nationally, with the Department of Health stating that it will be asking the HSE to fully implement abortion services in all maternity hospitals and units by September. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of Remain Evening News on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Wednesday evening, July 17th. The death has occurred of Liam Quinn, Navani Ballybuffet. His remains will repose at his late residence tomorrow morning from 11 o'clock. Funeral leaving his home on Friday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Sheshe O'Neill at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time plays from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Mary McLaughlin, Nae McFadden, 487 Coal Hill, Newton Cunningham. Remains will be reposing at her late residence from 8 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass in All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham at 12 midday on Friday, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to Lyford Day Hospital, care of Charlie McLafferty, funeral director. The death has taken place in Glasgow of Conal Boyle, Mean Moore, Dunlow. A Mass of Remembrance will take place in St Columbus Church Acres tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Funeral Mass in St Joseph's Church, Cardone Road, Steps, Glasgow on Monday morning, July the 22nd at 10 o'clock, with cremation afterwards at Daldoey Crematorium. The death has taken place of Margaret Sweeney, formerly of Dunfield Terrace, Derry and Ball Hill, Donegal Town. Funeral from her daughter's home at 17 Townview Heights, Ballybuffet, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock to Ardahi Church, Inver, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Interment afterwards in the new cemetery, Cranny Road, Frosses, County Donegal. The death has taken place of Rosaline Rodden, Mass Ray, Kilmacrenan. Remains reposing at her home. Funeral Mass in St Columbus Church, Kilmacrenan at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Donegal Hospice, care of Charlie McLafferty, funeral director. And the death has taken place of Mary Breslin, Carn Bray, Quigley's Point. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Columbus Church, Drung, Quigley's Point, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m.